Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God comes to us in seed form. Every time we hear it, it works together with what we've received to establish truth in our heart. Like a network, everything that God ever taught me works together with what He already taught me. Every part of His Word works together with parts of His Word. Sometimes, you know, there are scriptures that say things like casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So that's what, whenever you have foreign thoughts, anti-thoughts, that's what you do with them. Cast them down. They mean nothing to you. It's not of the kingdom of God. It's remember the parable of the prodigal son. He ended up in the hog pen. All thoughts that exalt themselves over against the knowledge of God, against Jesus Christ, it's nothing but hog pen mischief or hog pen misery. And you can't use it in life. All the dead doctrines, things that don't sit right in your heart. It's like an interruption. It's not in the choir. It's off key. It's like a noisy choir member that can't sing. Every thought of Satan is that way. It just don't sit. There's no rest with it. And it's spoken in the name of truth, but it just don't fit the Word of God. And that's why every time that people have introduced anything false, it's not the same as God's Word. The Holy Spirit can't sanction it. It's not approved. Signs and wonders never follow dead doctrine. It's an interruption. It goes against the grain. It goes against logic, and it's not life. Though it's spoken in the name of life. You know, even when the beast comes, he's gonna sit on the white horse, and he has a bow. Just like when Jesus come back, Jesus has a bow. But the Antichrist has no arrows. He just has an empty bow. He's like a lion with no teeth. Nothing but a roar. Everything of the world is just like the Antichrist. Empty. It's just deception. And all of Satan's kingdom works by power, by might and power, through deception. God's kingdom, it goes forward and it operates by the Spirit of God. Only by the Spirit of God. He's the originator. And when we praise God and sing praises to Him, He's backing us up. He's responding to our faith. All of the grace of God is already promised. And when we act on faith, our faith activates the promises of God and changes the facts on the ground. And it's all in harmony. All the things that God teaches, even the things that come from others, when they speak under the anointing and by the Holy Spirit, there's a harmony with it. Anytime the people of God speak the truth of God, a harmony is in it. It's in harmony with what we've learned. And sometimes when it comes, the Lord can introduce something that's true and real and rightly divided. But because we never heard it that way, we turn our heads sideways as we think about it. But when we research all the things that God has already taught us, things that are established truth to us, is not, the new truth is not an interruption, but it harmonizes with it. And whenever, every time it happens, I research the word. I ask the Lord my questions. And I gain strength. I see it in a greater way. And I say, oh, that's what that means. And I thank God. And I receive it as truth. But every truth, sometimes the Lord will say things through people you didn't expect. And many people in the body of Christ, they really turn their head sideways. But I've noticed that all truth spoken by inspiration of the Holy Spirit is detectable, it's noticeable, and it's in harmony with everything that God has taught and everything that He will teach, because it came by the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes older saints, more established saints, they get offended at younger saints or somebody they didn't expect to say something. It's as they, you know, when they speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But they forgot something. They forgot that God can use any of His people. We all share the same grace. And we all have the same responsibility of reconciliation. See, this thing, all the proud people, they don't know how to take it. Satan is very proud. He's the king of pride. He's the first, he's the first sinner. And when he goes out to battle, he seeks to devour who he can. But he's after those that are in the most prominent places. But Lester Sumrall, great man of God, he said something. He said, in most cases, change is introduced through one man or one woman, and not organizations. See, organizations, they structure things like men because they are men. And men just don't get it. They still look for power and might. Even though God plainly said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And men, they continue to seek the power. They look for every move of God to be something big through somebody notable, through somebody that God used in the past. But everybody God uses mightily, they have a starting point. They heard the word, and it started faith in them. It was introduced to them in seed form, and they heard it, and they were faithful. And they continued, and they grew. And eventually it was noticeable that people were listening to them. So when people see a crowd, they look at power. But it was the Holy Spirit the whole while. When it looks small, when it's just one man or one family doing something that's nobody ever done before, people scoff at it. But people who are seeking God can tell, because see, anything that's of the Holy Spirit is detectable. It's powerful all by itself. It stands, it doesn't need any props and crutches. And it's in harmony with all of God's word. And I've watched people go back and forth with this power struggle since I've been a Christian. I can remember it everywhere I went. Every turn, as I grew from glory to glory, I saw the same thing happening over and over again. In different forms and in different ways. But those who love God, they don't have a problem receiving from God. You know, and I love my pastor. If you say that God told you something, he'll listen. He'll hear you out. And he'll consider. He's not negative. But the Holy Spirit will always say something that will cause us to turn our head sideways and wonder. You know, the Lord talked about signs and wonders. Most of the things he say will make you wonder. You'll be in awe at the works of God. And if you think you know a lot, he can say something so simple and elementary, and it'll make you sit down and be in awe and in wonder. The Lord just don't run out. He always has something to say. And I love it. I want every day. Jesus said, pray for your daily bread. Not just your food. Whatever you need in this life, pray for it. If you see you're about to need money, then ask for it. Name the amount. But, you know, every time I name the amount, the Lord said, that's not enough. So ask for more than enough. Whatever you ask for more than enough. And that's a clue. The Lord always talks about giving us good measure, pressed down, running together, running over. Because he wants us to share our daily bread with others. He wants us to have more than enough. Prosperity is in obedience. All forms of prosperity is in obedience. And did you realize that obedience is more important than sacrifice and offerings? Some things you're not going to learn unless you're obedient. And then when we pay tithes and offerings and we make sacrifices to help, it just honors God. Ben Hinn said, the money leaves your hand but not your life, because God is going to outbless you every time. You know, always look at him. Consider the word. In every struggle, in every case, in every situation, in every disappointment, look at the word. Consider the word. It's the word that makes the difference. If you look at Jesus, if you keep looking at him, you can walk on water. If you keep looking at him, you can do whatever is necessary. Walking on water is really not that necessary in most cases. But you see the point. Whatever it is, look to Jesus and he can bless you. You're going to learn more looking at him, because the Holy Spirit is going to be able to move. We honor him by obeying him, by trusting him and taking him at his word. He will never fail to not lead you. Now, when the Lord speaks, it needs to be received. Sometimes the Lord is waiting on the opportunity where you will be receptive. So if you will confess that I've received all that the Lord wants to say to me. One of my favorite confessions is that I will do all that's in his heart. When you're reaching forward trying to learn, you make it so easy for God to teach you. And when you hate pride, he's unrestricted. If you have any form of a desire to be seen and heard and you need the approval of men, that's something to get rid of. Those are Canaanites. The Canaanites were like thorns in your side. Any distraction of the world, any worldly desire, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they come to hurt you. You can't use them. They are interruptions. When I received the revelation that God, all knowledge comes from God, even secular knowledge, the wit to build engines and computers, even electricity, all these wonderful inventions that we thoroughly enjoy, came from the mind of God. And God gave it to people through dreams and visions. See, when the Holy Spirit was received and the gospel went out, then the Lord started giving people ideas and inventions. Once we had a free country going, then it was easy for people to thrive. It's hard to thrive in a kingdom because everything is pressed down. You have to get approval. And nobody believes in what you're doing. And it's just like when you learn knowledge, you offend people that don't know. Because now, it's like you took their thunder. And but everybody's made in God's image. And people want to come to this country because you can thrive here. This country is supposed to be run by the people. It's not set up like a kingdom. With a kingdom, a devil can deceive a king real easy. And the first thing he's going to do is cause a strife against people of God and the Jews. And then you have limitations again. And people don't expect much, so they go along with it. Until people get to know the Lord for themselves, they don't value him. To them, he's like a fictional character that they can't see. And they judge everything naturally because the spiritual things are not discerned by natural people. The things of God are spiritually discerned, spiritually known, spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. But they don't have it. So they don't value it. And when people don't value things, they throw them away. You know, diamonds are very expensive things to have. They're valuable. A few rocks in your hands that are diamonds, you may not even have to work anymore because people will buy them and you'll have enough money to live on for years. But there are children that find diamonds and they throw them across the water because they don't know that they're valuable. There are people who see them and they look at them and they don't care about them. Especially when they're not polished. They look like another rock. But to the trained eye, that's a very valuable gem. And so it is with all things. The things of God are no different. When you study the word for yourself, when you get to know the Lord for yourself, then you value him and a relationship with God. And that's what Satan's afraid of. He's afraid of man being reunited with the Lord through Jesus Christ. Then they'll find out that they've got authority over him. A healing process begins in them, and people start getting saved again. Anything that compromises will lose. Satan couldn't control the church, so he tried to marry it years ago. The Roman Caesar started getting saved, and the enemy had to stop it because that was a powerful nation. So what happens to people when they get saved? Eventually they die. And eventually they had an evil king again. And when they saw that people were dedicated to Jesus Christ and they were happy and they were going forward in life, they couldn't stop it. And when they killed the Christians, the church grew even more. And in the dark ages, the enemy infiltrated the church and put false leaders up, false prophets as the leader. And then the dark ages began. Years went by and people weren't getting saved. And if they did, they didn't talk about it because they didn't want to get killed. It was a very hard, those were hard days to live. All kind of problems existed. Pestilences. The plague. The plague follows that kind of disobedience, and it's got to go somewhere. If you do something wrong, it's got to do something. It's going to do damage. So it's important to go forward in the Lord and keep going forward. In this country, you're free to serve God. You're free to believe on Jesus. But in any country, you can believe on Jesus and you will live. You get to live forever. And you get to go forward. And nothing can stop it. But in some places, it's against the law and they will kill you. And the Lord will give you wisdom wherever you are. He will give you his wisdom. Pray for it. That's part of your daily bread, so that you can thrive. And the Lord will bless you. He will move in your life. He will cause you to see just what to do. And he'll help you build your life inspired by the Holy Spirit. By his Spirit, you will build your life. Against all odds, even when you're greatly outnumbered. See, all odds, when the odds are against you, that means there's more people against you than for you. It's not an even match. So when the odds are against you, when you're greatly outnumbered, God is still, he's still your God, and he can give you wisdom, and you can shut down the works of darkness. Tell Satan he can't use his puppets against you. Tell Satan he can't stop the works of God in your life. And confess that you will obey the Lord. Confess that you love the Lord. Speak it with your mouth. I love God. I love his will. I love his word. I love his people. I love the move of God. I love the wisdom of God. And see, you're receiving more of him. And so when you need daily bread, he's able to give it to you because you're connecting. You're reaching out to him. You're reaching forth. You're asking and seeking and knocking to know more. And the Lord can always bless you when you have that kind of heart and attitude. What you say with your mouth can make the difference. And what you speak far outweighs the will of others. What you say, when you can understand, if you command Satan to leave you alone, he has no choice. And all the people who see the when it's against the law to practice Christianity, and the people that are the most hard-hearted, they're the people he can use the most. But in order for them to kill you and go after you and try to harm you, they have to be incited by Satan or by a demon. When you tell that demon to stop, I just say Satan because he's in charge of the demons. I say, Satan, you can't use any of your people against me. Your whole plan against my life is dead. Well, guess what? All those spirits stop working immediately. And then men will go back to being like they normally would be. There's no demon inciting them to do something. There's no demon that's driving them. And their attention will go to something else. And they'll even forget about you. Or it'll be out of their mind. And when people operate in obedience to God, their enemies are scattered. And then angels are in operation. The angels are here to help us in life. They hear what you say, and they assist you. When you speak the word of God, you activate heaven. Now, heaven is comprised of angels, and all kinds of angels, and God is there, Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit. They operate on your behalf when you speak the word of God in faith. We are not sitting ducks. And we don't have to die at Satan's will. In fact, I said, I always say, I'll never die by your hand. That's what I tell Satan. Continually, I say, I'll never die by your hand or at your will. And there's no man on this earth you can use against me. And I say it with boldness, and I'm not afraid of him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And remember, every word of God, everything that God that's of God, it comes with his approval. It's in harmony. It all works together in harmony. It's beautiful. And it's possible that it'll make you think. It'll make you wonder. It gives you hope. It gives you stamina, strength. It's a blessing, never a curse. And that's just the way it's going to always be. I love the Lord our God and King. I always look forward to the next time he says something. And I love when he comes to me giving me information. Many times the prophets would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. And I know what that's like. That's a wonderful experience every time it happens. And every time it happens, I want even more. You know, one day the Lord started talking to me about the cycle of life. And there was a teaching on sowing and reaping. This went on for 3 days. He taught me about sowing and reaping. I asked questions and he answered them it was wonderful. He taught me all kind of principles of sowing and reaping. And it was good. I wrote a paper about it, and it's on the Living Letter Ministries website on the Living Letters page. Sometimes this word has just come to me saying something, it's a teaching. And it's something that he'll use in my, when he does that, it's for a purpose. And these are things I never thought to pray about. He just starts talking to me about things. Every now and then I get a teaching like that. And the Holy Spirit can give you a lot of information at one moment. And I've had occasions where he will cause me to understand many things. Years ago, the Lord gave me this book called The Cost of Freedom. And in mid-90s, I wrote the book. But before that happened, he gave me a lot of dreams and visions and conversations when he was teaching me how to love his people. He taught me things about the different races. He gave me dreams about how people thought. And I was standing in my toolbox. And the Lord gave me, he gave me the whole book called The Cost of Freedom. And I knew what to write. As I sat down and wrote, every day I wrote one page. I didn't stop everything I'm doing and write a book. Every day I wrote a page or two until it was complete. I never had writer's block. Not once. Every time I wrote what he gave me, and I explained things, and I wrote it. And he gave it to me in one moment. Before I could take a step or two, I knew what to write in that book. And the Lord can do that. He's timeless. He can do anything. He can give you a statement and you understand volumes. See, when you speak to the Lord heart to heart, when you relate to him, when you take him at his word, a greater door is open, greater opportunities are open. And I get kind of sad when I see Christians don't value this. They don't want to be the one to make change. And sometimes when spiritual gifts operate in people's lives, they get afraid and they ask the Lord to take it away from them. They get panicky. But when spiritual gifts can operate in your life, you have to allow it. And it's there as an aid to help you grow and help you help others grow. The way we grow is the way you're going. If you reject what God has given you, you'll have children that will reject what God give them. It'll be harder for them to receive from God if the parents are reluctant. But when you're receptive, you'll see your children being receptive. It'll be easy for them to be receptive. It's still up to their will. They'll still have to do it by faith. But when parents do what they should do and honor God, then the children, they're propelled to do the same thing. See, children watch your life over a long scope of time. And they'll see, they begin to value what's valuable and shun what is not valuable. From a certain point of view, everything can be made to look good. I use this for an example. Some people don't take their children to church. All right, the convenience side is you get a day where you just rest at home, but you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not endeavoring. And so now the flesh wants to rest all the time. So when they're adults, they'll think it's all right to just lay at home and you know, and just enjoy the day. And they don't see how going to church can value them, can help them. And they don't value it. And the enemy has stolen something that they're neglecting part of that network that God has provided. But people who take their children to church, they are more stable in life. And they see the move of God.